The BRICS have been using their gold-backed units since October 31st. This is not a lab test. This is not yet a public launch either. It is operating in what is called a pumpkin batch or pumpkin patch phase, where real transactions are being done in a controlled environment. They publish the data every day. They are using this unit on blockchain rails. They are using it alongside their national currencies.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning. I'm Vince Lancey. This is the Goldfix Market Rundown. It's Friday, 8/11. There's the homepage. We have some breaking news, breaking at least for people in the West. The BRICS have successfully launched their new unit of account called the Unit, or simply Unit, and it is gold-backed. Today, we're going to explain what it is, how it works, and why it may quietly mark the beginning of a new era in international trade. But first, the markets. 10-year yields are up 1. The dollar is down 4. The S&P 500 is up 15. The NASDAQ is up 82. The VIX is offered unchanged. Gold is up $19. Silver is up 86 cents. Copper is up 7, almost 8 cents. Big all-time highs there. WTI 59.75 down 4. Natgas up 16, over $5. Bitcoin 91,000 and change. Ethereum unchanged offered. Platinum, palladium up mildly, and the grains are mixed. Okay, so we have two pieces coming out today. Collaborative efforts with Chris Marcus and Matt Riley. The BRICS gold back unit has been successfully launched. That's the first piece. The second piece is the white paper that we put together. It's a white paper for unit design and walkthrough. The first is an academic white paper, as I just described, that walks through the mechanics in detail for anyone who wants to study the structure. The second is an essay that explains what this unit is, how it could revolutionize international trade, and why it is coming. The best part is simple. It's backed by gold. The second best part is that its success is almost overdetermined because it is built on an idea that was nearly adopted in 1944 at the Bretton Woods Summit, then pushed aside in favor of global dollar dominance and the IMF SDR system. It has taken 80 years, but this idea's time has arrived. As a background, what we've been tracking over the past 2+ years, we've been cataloging and tracking a long list of BRICS-sponsored projects and building blocks, Enbridge and the other unit collateralized money concepts, the gradual division of the world into two monetary zones, an Eastern zone and a Western zone, tokenized gold and the use of gold vaults as nodes in regional blockchain payment networks, progress on technological and payment rails such as BRICS Pay and BRICS Clear, and membership expansion and the agenda at each BRICS summit. All of these has been a prelude. Today, we could say something more concrete, something you can hold on to. The BRICS have been using their gold-backed units since October 31st. This is not a lab test. This is not yet a public launch either. It is operating in what is called a pumpkin batch or pumpkin patch phase, where real transactions are being done in a controlled environment. They publish the data every day. They are using this unit on blockchain rails. They are using it alongside their national currencies. It is 40% backed by gold, and the main BRICS currencies make up the other 60%, 12.5% per each. There are no bonds in this market. There is no long-term debt in this market. The entire structure is priced in gold, not currencies, gold. The currencies are measured in gold terms. The gold is not being measured in currency terms, as I just said. That alone shows how the world is starting to flip. The trial has been running since October. The pricing began on October 31st and has been updated daily since then. The timeline may help explain why gold saw such a torrid rally into the end of October. The idea is now a working product. It is increasingly clear to us that if you do not have access to gold, you will find it very difficult to trade with BRICS nations in the future. In addition to that, you will likely need their currencies inside your own reserve basket in order to match theirs. That sets up a bridge between East and West, something to cross the iron financial curtain, as Matt had called it in the past. The bridge may be called Enbridge. It may run over some other branded platform. The label isn't important. What matters is that you will need gold to cross the bridge. Gold is becoming the password to international trade. Today, we will publish those two posts by noon. These are collaborative efforts with Chris and Matt, as I mentioned. Chris first alerted us to this development yesterday. He is now literally, Arcadia Economics is now literally a part of the public record on it since their videos are featured on the unit official launch site. The other collaborator is Matt Riley, who, like me, focuses on market plumbing and understands the mechanics behind de-dollarization. He also was involved in those videos. You will see two posts today, one academic piece by the on the unit itself, and the other piece is going to be easier to sink your teeth into. From here, we shift into the regular weekend content. For the weekend, on top of what we're putting out today, you can see those two pieces up top. JP Morgan has released its 2026 outlook for base and precious metals. We have already done a write-up on gold and silver, platinum, palladium, and we will publish that in two parts over the next 2 days. Michael Hartnett has published his 2026 year-ahead synopsis. We will break that down for you over the weekend as well. Alongside that, we have several additional pieces lined up for subscribers. Last night, I sent an audio note to founders. I can share that with everyone, and I will. But I want to align it with the formal launch of these posts. It was exciting to record because after years of groundwork, what we're seeing is real. This is exciting for two reasons. First, gold sits at the core of this structure. Second, the architecture is serious. My excitement isn't about the gold. We know gold's going to be a part of it. But this is not a joke from what I can say. The BRICS have crossed their own Rubicon. They have a token, which is what the unit is effectively is, with a reverse reserve basket in it. A blockchain pipeline. Payment rails that can, in principle, connect to almost any system on the planet, including FXCLS-style platforms. It does not integrate with SWIFT. That is the point. The West is now building its own response, and in time, it will be plugged into the system rather than the other way around. Now, to be clear, they're not restricting it from SWIFT. SWIFT doesn't have the ability to have assets in it. It's a messaging system, right? So they'll have to build something onto SWIFT to use it, but they will. It is real. It is powerful, and it can work. All this and more is coming over the weekend. Look for the two BRICS unit posts today at noon, and as soon as my co-writers sign off on the final collaboration. Spending a minute on the markets, you're seeing very, very wide ranges in gold and especially in silver. Down a half, percent and a half, up a percent and a half. This is the metals war as it manifests in the market. There is talk coming out of China that there is actual serious shortage of metal at the industrial level. And whether it's real shortage or artificially, it doesn't matter. The metal's not available. So that metal that was pulled out of the Shanghai vault does not seem to be made available. It's not being made available to its industrial base. So you are seeing a slow motion rolling squeeze. The reason I say it's slow motion, the reason I say it's rolling is because as Eric, my brother from another mother over in Hong Kong, has said, and I've said, they're going to keep financializing the problem. So they're going to keep rolling and paying the backwardation. So they're going to start being taxed every month on the amount of roll they have to do. And the idea is they hope the metal will become available at some point. It will be released. It will be mined. It will be scrapped. It'll be something. And so they're going to do a slow motion because, and I'll say this to you as a trader, if they're doing that, that's very bad. And if they're doing that, that's because they don't have another alternative right now. Now, I don't say this with glee. That's what they've been doing forever. Rolling, deferring. But now they're rolling and losing money. They're rolling and losing money, not rolling and making money on their carry trades. And that's a sign of serious, serious stress. It's time to start looking at what happened to nickel and how it happened. And look to see how it got spiked higher. And look to see who suffered. And look to see what happened with the trades. Think about that when you start trading on this type of information. We are long silver and we are in the money. But we feel short. You know what I mean? Okay, so but this could drop again. This could drop 5% or rally 5%. We don't know. I also want to take a closer look at crypto next week and the altcoins, the ones that are going to be used for payment rails, like you know the Ripples and the Cardanos and what have you. Those are going to be, I think, important going forward. Okay, I'm Vince. Have a great weekend. Again, we have a lot of good stuff coming out this weekend. Talk to you later.
Well, thank you, Vincent, and thank you to each and every one of you at home who has joined us once again this morning for some more coverage of the gold and silver markets, where, amazingly, we are into December already, and the rest of the holiday is not all that far off now that we're past Thanksgiving. So, wow, what a year it's been, and I sure have enjoyed spending it with you throughout this year and these past couple of years and watching Vince every morning, so just hope you're having a great day out there, having fun. And before we wrap up, did want to thank today's sponsor, which is Fortuna Mining, that has also had a great year, especially if you're a Fortuna shareholder. That has gone well. And again, while I'm not able to give licensed legal financial advice here, you see a lot of these stocks turn around and really rally along with the prices of the underlying commodities this year is been a good feeling, and just happy for everyone who has had success. And might add, there was some news out of Fortuna this week where they announced that they're awarding the contract for the Seguela mine plant expansion to Lycopodium Minerals in Canada, and also that the PEA technical report has been filed. This is the PEA for their Diambasud gold project, which obviously, we have talked about quite a bit on the show in our calls with Jorge Canoza, the CEO of Fortuna Mining. And fortunately enough, I have a clip of what he said about the Diambasud Gold Project where they just filed that PEA. And let's take a listen here.
This is a project we're very excited about. We acquired this project for $60 million. No, we like the exploration potential. We like the Senegal for business. So it was a really cheap acquisition made judiciously at the right time. And it's taken us, you know, 2 years of hard work and a lot of drilling and engineering studies. So we find ourselves publishing this PEA that shows a very robust project, right? A 72% internal rate of return and NPV north of $500 million using $2,750 for gold, right? So on the engineering side, even though we publish this as a preliminary economic assessment, I can say that a lot of the project design is at a really at a DFS level. So the only component we're missing to brand this as a DFS, definitive feasibility study, is the fact that we still have about a third of the resources in the inferred category. So a big part of our program this year is infilling, so we can inform all of the financial models with measured indicated reserves, right? So, but we have a high degree of confidence on the $280 million that we believe building the Diambasud will cost, and all of the you know designs and the parameters that go around bringing this into production. So, you know, we just have to wait a bit longer, do our infill drilling, fine tune certain minor aspects of the study, and we should be in a position to publish in the second quarter of next year a DFS, definitive feasibility study, and with that, go public with our construction decision. We are not doing things sequentially at Diambasud. We're doing things in parallel. So in parallel, we're advancing with exploration to make this resource bigger and infill the inferred resources that we currently have. We're working in parallel with, you know, fine-tuning the study. We're working in parallel with the permitting. We announced in the month of September that we filed the environmental impact study, and we expect the approval and certificate early next year. So we have approved a $17 million early works budget. So we're going to start building the camp facilities and other ancillary infrastructure that will help us de-risk the project timeline. So a lot of activities being conducted in parallel, right?
Well, thank you, Jorge, and thank you to each and every one of you watching at home. I do sure hope you're getting set for an incredible and wonderful weekend and doing something fun with somebody you love or making a new friend out there. And in either case, we'll wrap up for today. But in case you missed that last call with Jorge and would like to find out more about Fortuna, well, that one is coming your way now.